We heard two pieces that featured the unheralded but great tenor saxophonist Joe Alexander, originally from Birmingham, Alabama. Spent a lot of time in Cleveland, Ohio as well, and a real legend. And we heard him first as part of this Tad Dameron band, playing a Tad Dameron composition called Delirium. And it featured Joe, of course, on tenor saxophone doing the lead, and a wonderful solo in the middle by trumpeter Kenny Dorham. And, of course, the rest of the band with Tad on piano, Henry Coker on trombone, Cecil Payne baritone saxophone, Sahib Shahab on lead alto, John Simmons on bass, and Shadow Wilson on drums. And then, of course, the two major soloists, Alexander and Dorham. Then from a very rare album that came out on Jazzland Records, a subsidiary of Riverside Records, this has never been issued on CD. And it's a wonderful album called Blue Jubilee, and it's Joe Alexander's only album under his own name. With a good friend of mine on trumpet, he spent a lot of time in San Francisco. I got to know him very well, named John Hunt. He played with the Ray Charles band for many years. Wonderful trumpet player and flugelhorn player. So it was Joe Alexander on tenor, John Hunt on trumpet, Bobby Timmons on piano, Sam Jones on bass, and Albert Tootie Heath on drums. And the tune that we heard was the title track called Blue Jubilee. And we're going to hear that whole album sometime. I'm going to feature that whole album. It's an excellent record, and of course, we'll give you an idea of how great Joe Alexander was. All right, that's it for The Jazz Show. Our feature next week is one of the most iconic of all Blue Note records. It was led by one of the forerunners of modern Hammond organ. I'm talking about Larry Young. And it features Joe Henderson on tenor saxophone, Woody Shaw on trumpet, and Elvin Jones on drums. And I think some of you may know about this album because it really is a classic. And it was recorded, next week is November 12th, and that was the day that this album was recorded. So we're going to hear it as the jazz feature next week. It's called Unity, Larry Young. All right. We'd like to thank you very much for being out there this evening on behalf of CITR FM 101.9 or on your computer, www.citr.ca, and The Jazz Show, and myself, Gavin Walker. Take care, and we'll see you in 7 days' time. Bye-bye. Stay tuned. Adam is coming up with some great stuff to follow, so don't touch the dial. We'll be right back.
Welcome to Transition State. What's up, radio fans? Welcome to Transition State. I'm your host, as always, Adam Smiley. That was 1979 by the Smashing Pumpkins. Fitting, because that's the year I was born. I guess that song is about everybody born in 1979. Anyway, we got a bang-up show tonight. We are going to be reading about the noble gases, starting right now with, you guessed it, atomic weight, 131.293. Density, 0.0059. Atomic radius, 108 picometers. Number 54, Xenon. For most practical purposes, xenon is noble, inert and non-reactive, just like the other gases in this column of the periodic table. It's even the most expensive. But in what can only be described as an egregious case of slumming, in 1962, xenon was caught in the act of forming compounds with common elements. Since then, dozens of xenon compounds, usually involving fluorine, have been discovered and prepared. Xenon difluoride, for example, is commercially available from any laboratory catalog. It comes in a bottle just as plain as day. This is shocking. Just shocking. It simply isn't something that noble gases are supposed to do. Indiscretions aside, most applications of xenon do still make use of its typically noble inertness. Incandescent light bulbs filled with xenon can burn hotter and brighter because of the low thermal conductivity of the gas. But arc lighting is where xenon really shines. The central problem in cinema projectors and spotlights is creating a parallel beam of light, which is done by using light from a tiny, intense source and bouncing it off a parabolic focusing mirror. The more compact the source of light at the mirror's focal point, the better the beam. IMAX projectors use fantastically bright 15 kilowatt xenon short arc lamps to create their huge projected images. The bulbs are filled with xenon at such high pressure that they must be stored and handled in special protective enclosures and clothing due to the risk of explosion. On a much smaller scale, xenon metal halide lamps are in those really annoying new headlights that dazzle you when you encounter certain brands of overpriced cars on the street at night. All right, let's hear some music.
Train stops calling and the clouds sit on the floor. When hands thank you and views look back, you. When tomorrow can't wait for you, please wait. When silence bows for you and the dogs feed the boy, you know me, fire you, 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 know me, fire you.
Independent and nonpartisan British Columbia Electoral Boundaries Commission wants your input on the area, boundaries, and names of provincial electoral districts to be used for the next two provincial general elections. This democratic process is a unique opportunity for British Columbians to provide their views about how their communities are represented geographically in the Legislative Assembly. Views, submissions, and presentations may be made through an online submission form at www.bc-ebc.ca, by email to info@bc-ebc.ca, or by mail to Post Office Box 9275, Station Provincial Government, Victoria, BC, V8W9J6. All submissions must be received by Sunday, November 16, 2014. Visit the Commission's website to learn about the Commission, how to join a public hearing, view current electoral district maps, and provide input at www.bc-ebc.ca.
And we're back. Welcome, radio fans. As always, you're listening to CITR 101.9 in Vancouver and around the world on the internet. We just heard from somebody called Kieran J. Callanan. The track was Love Delay from the album Embracism. Before that, Blind Horses, their hit Noisy Kid. And before that was Sexy Mathematics. The song was Victory. The album was Electronics. And now, back to business. And if you're just tuning in, this week's business is the noble gases. Atomic weight 39.948. Density, 0.001784. Atomic radius, 71 picometers. That's right. Number 18. Argon. Argon, from the Greek for inactive, is exactly that. Nearly all its applications relate to the fact that it is the cheapest totally inert gas. Nitrogen, N2, is even cheaper and inert enough for many applications, but at high temperatures it can break down, while argon remains inherently and unshakably uninterested in chemical combination, except for a few highly unstable compounds of purely academic interest. Edison's first light bulbs used a vacuum to protect the filament from oxidation, but modern incandescent bulbs are instead filled with a mixture of nitrogen and argon at near atmospheric pressure, allowing them to have paper-thin glass walls. Fancy, smaller bulbs are filled with krypton, xenon, and/or halogen gases to allow their filaments to burn hotter and thus brighter. The fact that you can buy small metal cylinders of argon gas in retail stores is thanks to the existence of gadgets used to protect opened bottles of wine from oxidation by topping off the bottle with argon. As far as I'm concerned, it would be much easier just to drink the grape juice before it goes bad. By that simple expedient, we could avoid an awful lot of wine snobbery. Argon is surprisingly abundant in our atmosphere, nearly 1% by weight, which accounts for its relatively low price. Commercial argon is a byproduct of the production of liquid oxygen and liquid nitrogen, both of which are produced in huge quantities. Now back to the music. Here's Daedalus.
Thank you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That was Pinner playing Sad Lamp. Nice title for a song. Before that was Daedalus, Flat Faded from the album Drown Out. Atomic weight, 222. Density, 0.00973. Atomic radius, 120 picometers. Number 86, radon. Radon is a heavy radioactive gas with a half-life of only 3.2 days, but there is quite a lot of it around because it is a principal element in the decay chains of both uranium and thorium, both of which exist in large quantities, particularly in granite bedrock. Granite buildings emit significant amounts of radiation. Grand Central Station in New York is famously radioactive for this reason. Radon seeping up from the ground and collecting in the basements of buildings is of concern to many people. A whole industry exists to detect and mitigate radon. Your friendly neighborhood radon abatement service will install expensive underground air channels and fans to draw the radon out from underneath your house before it gets inside. Ironically, while some people are paying big bucks to get rid of radon, others gather in cave spas near uranium deposits to breathe the rich radon-laden air, believing it to be healthy. This belief, more popular 100 years ago than today, originated with the discovery that many hot springs are quite radioactive. The water in them is hot because it flows near hot rocks, which are hot because of uranium and thorium decay deep in the earth. 100 years ago, when radioactivity was first being investigated, no one had any reason to suspect it was dangerous. Everyone knew hot springs were healthy, but no one could really say why. When it was discovered that many famous hot springs are radioactive, the answer seemed obvious. It must be this great new radiation thing. The result was a decades-long health fad for all things radioactive, which ended only after the spectacular death of a famous proponent, which you can read about under thorium.
I need you. I know that you're no longer mine. Yeah, check it out. I found that canned ham, and I put it in a pot of boiling water, and guess what I'm calling it?
Soup?
Hot ham water.
You're listening to CITR 101.9 FM Vancouver, nourishing radio.
Mm. So watery, and yet there's a smack of ham to it.
And we're back. We just heard from Tanya Tagak. Tanya Tagak. The track was Caribou. Before that, Tops, Driverless Passenger, from the album Picture You Staring. Atomic weight 4.002602. Density 0.0001785. Atomic radius 31 picometers. That's small. Number 2. Helium. Helium is named for the Greek god of the sun, Helios, because the first hints of its existence were dark lines in the spectrum of sunlight that could not be explained by the presence of any elements known at the time. It might seem a paradox that an element common enough to fill party balloons with was the first element to be discovered in space. The reason is that helium is one of the noble gases, so named because they do not interact with the common riffraff of elements, remaining inert and aloof to nearly all chemical bonding. Because it does not interact, helium could not easily be detected by conventional wet chemical methods. As a replacement for hydrogen in airships, helium, which is completely non-flammable, has much to recommend it. The main problem is that it's a lot more expensive and provides somewhat less lift. Anyone want to go for a ride in a low-bid model? The helium we use today is extracted from natural gas as it comes out of the ground. But unlike all other stable elements, it was not deposited there when the Earth was formed. Instead, it was created over time by the radioactive decay of uranium and thorium. These elements decay by alpha particle emission, and alpha particle is simply the physicist's name for the nucleus of a helium atom. So when you fill a party balloon, you're filling it with atoms that just a few tens or hundreds of millions of years ago were random protons and neutrons in the nuclei of large radioactive atoms. That, frankly, is weird. Huh. And now some Neil Young.
I was 8 years old and riding with the dime. To pick up a paper for my old man. I'd sit on his lap in that big old Buick and steer as we drove through town. He'd tussle my hair and say, son, take a good look around. This is your hometown. Your hometown. This is your hometown. This is your hometown. In 65, tension was running high at my high school. There was lots of fights between blacks and whites. There was nothing you could do. Two cars at a light on a Saturday night, in the back seat there was a gun. Words were passed in a shotgun blast, and troubled times had come to my hometown. My hometown. My hometown. Thank you.
Hello and welcome to 433. This is a program dedicated to contemporary classical, avant-garde, experimental, and new music. Just how experimental do we get around here?
Sorry, 433. Sorry about that. That's some garbage. Sorry about that. Okay, we're back. We just heard from Neil Young playing the awesome Bruce Springsteen song, My Hometown. Now we're going to hear from Atomic Weight 83.798, Density 0.00375, Atomic Radius 88 picometers. Number 36, Krypton. Krypton, like the other noble gases, steadfastly refuses to engage in the primary business of chemistry, bonding. The stubborn inertness of this group renders the noble gases handy when you want to protect something from the rest of the world. In the case of Krypton, this boils down to higher efficiency light bulbs. Cheaper incandescent bulbs are commonly filled with argon and or nitrogen, but the higher molecular weight of Krypton reduces evaporation of the tungsten filament, allowing it to operate longer at higher temperatures, where a larger fraction of the electrical energy goes into visible light instead of heat. But don't be fooled. Even the highest efficiency incandescent bulb still uses several times as much power as a compact fluorescent bulb, generating the same amount of light. Krypton, like neon, is also exploited for its spectral emissions line when excited by an electric discharge. But while neon glows with its distinctive orange-red color, krypton glows bluish-white, making it useful for photo flashes or for filtering into other colors of the rainbow. One of krypton's spectral lines had an especially significant role between 1960 and 1983, during which time the meter was officially defined as 1,650,763.73 wavelengths of this orange-red emission line in the electromagnetic spectrum of the krypton 86 atom in a vacuum. In 1983, this definition was replaced with the one still in force today. The meter is the length of the path traveled by light in vacuum during the time interval of 1,299,792,458th of a second.
I once was lost, but now I'm really low.
was Miss Quincy and the Showdown playing What Is Life If It Ain't Strange. Which brings us back to our last noble gas. Atomic weight, 20.1797. Density, 0.000900. Atomic radius, 38 picometers. Number 10, neon. Neon is literally up in lights, as in up there, in those lights, there is neon. So close is the association between the element and its most common application that Times Square and Las Vegas are described as being awash with neon. Unlike platinum credit cards that contain no platinum, some neon lights, the orange-red ones, really do contain neon. When a high-voltage electric discharge is run through a tube filled with low-pressure neon, the gas glows bright orange-red in a fuzzy line down the center of the tube. Any other color, and it's not neon. And if you see a tube where the light comes from an opaque coating on the inside surface of the glass, rather than from the inside of the tube itself, you've got yourself a mercury vapor or krypton tube with a phosphor coating. Oliver Sacks, in his delightful book, Uncle Tungsten, describes walking through Times Square with a pocket spectroscope, enchanted by the great variety of spectral lines he could see. That's another way to tell a genuine neon light, by its unique spectrum, unlike that of any other element or phosphor. Helium neon lasers were the first continuous beam lasers in commercial use, and while they have been replaced in many applications by incredibly cheap laser diodes, helium neon lasers remain an important application for this element. There are very few things you can do with neon that don't rely in one way or another on the light it emits when stimulated with electricity. That neon has so few applications is masked by the fact that neon lights are so vivid and so widespread they make it seem like an important element, even though it would be one of the least missed. Huh. Take that, neon. Huh.